Morning. Yep, it's on. It's good. So, judging by the themes of the songs this morning, we're either very late for Christmas or very early for next year's Christmas. If that's the case, 2018 is not divisible by four, so it is not a leap year. Therefore, there's about 359 shopping days left till Christmas. So, just wanted to pass that along for your consideration. Happy New Year. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Excuse me, Isaiah chapter 51. We're going to spend a little time this morning looking behind us and then take a little time looking into the future, this being the last day of 2017. I think that folks will ask the question, well, what was your year like? Was it successful? Was it unsuccessful? And I believe that nobody can say whether it's successful or unsuccessful because it's individual as to whether you had a good year or a bad year. And I trust that as we look into the scripture this morning, we can take courage from the fact that it doesn't matter what took place in the past, we can leave that behind us and we can look to the future with encouragement, knowing that we have the Lord on our side. He's our confidence. And so we're going to look at this verse. It says in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged." There's an interesting perspective that the prophet Isaiah is putting out to the children of Israel, in that he's saying, when you look at your lives, take a look at where you came from. Don't ever forget where you came from. Don't forget the rock which you've been cut from, and don't forget the hole of the pit you've been dug out of. As the Lord said to Adam, he says, never forget, from dust you came and to dust you're going to return. And so we need to take a look at our lives from that perspective, that the reason why we're sitting here today and the reason that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior is because of the grace of God. It's the grace of God that sent His Son into this world to take the punishment for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He's saying, always remember that it's by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So you have nothing to do with your salvation, but I believe that it's good for us to take a look backwards and remember where we came from, because it's at that point that we recognize that where we came from should cause an extreme amount of thankfulness to be in our heart. I've said this before, I think it bears repeating, that if we didn't have a memory, we would never be thankful. Think about that. If you didn't have a memory, there'd be nothing to be thankful for. And again, without a memory, you wouldn't have anything to complain about either. But That's another subject unto itself. But always remember that God has given us a memory, and for two reasons. Number one is that we can remember where we came from. We can remember all the things about our life that we're thankful for, but we also are given the instructions to meet and remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His death for us. And what does that do? We don't learn anything new at that service. What we do at that service is we think back to the cross and we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And the main word that we hear out of that service is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And so the instructions here are, you that seek the Lord, look under the rock whence you were hewn and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged. And so as you think back over your life from the time you have your earliest memories I think it behooves us to think back and reflect on our lives so that we are thankful for what God has done in our lives in bringing us to this point. And I must say that the rock and the hole of the pit would indicate that there probably were struggles. But the Lord brought us through the struggles. I think that when it comes to Psalm 23, the Lord says he's taking us through the valley of the shadow of death. And the emphasis on our problems is the Lord does take us through them. They might last for a lot longer than we want them to last, but the thing is that the Lord will bring us through. I don't know how he's going to bring you through the situations you're dealing with in your life or how he's going to do it in my life, but this I do know, that the Lord is with us and he will take us through. So I'm just encouraging you to look back to the hole of the pit whence you were hewn or the hole of the pit whence you were digged and the rock from which you were hewn. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 because this is a chapter now which is going to tell us to forget the past. And it's not a paradox. It's not a disagreement in the Word of God. I think there's a different purpose that it's telling us to forget the past. But as we look at this, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at just about verse by verse through this chapter, because I think there's so much in it that we can learn from the Lord. I'm going to read the chapter, and then we're going to comment on the verses. Matter of fact, let me get, I have the King James Version, so I'm going to read it from the New King James. If you don't mind, let me look it up. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you might otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now that we've had a look at the past, let's take a look at what the Lord has given to us in confidence as we look to the future. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And to write these things to you, to me indeed, is not tedious, but for you it is safe. What the apostle is saying here is I'm writing these things so that you can know what you're facing in this world. And he says, it's not tedious for me to do this. I'm not writing out of obligation. I'm writing these things for your own spiritual safety. And we're not talking about physical safety. We're talking about our spiritual safety in the Lord. And he's saying, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What he's saying is that around us, we have an environment that is going to be constantly attacking us as Christians. We had it all the way through 2017. Expect it in 2018. In the words of my son, when I was having some issues in life, and it seemed like I was being attacked from every side for whatever reason, his comment to me as a young fellow, he said, Dad, always remember that Satan doesn't attack anything that's dead. We're alive in Christ, but we need to always remember that the attacks that come against us as Christians is because we are alive in Christ. We have a life that the devil hates, and our testimony is something that he hates. And so as an encouragement to you, if you're being attacked, don't be discouraged. Recognize that we have a God who is greater than all of the issues that can be brought to bear against us in our lives. We have the God of the universe on our side, and the devil can do nothing. He's already lost the war. Then it goes on and says, for we, and this is who we are. And I'd like to just make a point about this. Who we are. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. What the apostle is saying here is that we're the circumcision. In other words, we are different than the rest of the world. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are separate from the world because we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And our lives should be such that others recognize that we are Christians in our jobs, in our neighborhood. And I wonder, you know, how have I behaved over the past years? How am I going to behave in the coming year? Is there anything in my life that would make it appear that I'm different as a Christian? And I remember somebody putting it this way, and I forget who the quote was, that if Christianity was a criminal offense, would there be enough evidence to convict me? And it's something to think about. And so we have to face going forward, it says here, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, what he's saying is we don't have confidence in the flesh. And I'm going to tee this up for our next speaker. When it comes to New Year's resolutions, why do we have New Year's resolutions? We have New Year's resolutions to make our lives better. And yet, the statistic is that 99.9% of resolutions that are made on January the 1st are broken by about January the 2nd. It's just the way it works. Why? Because we're doing it in the strength of the flesh. Jim, you're welcome. Tee it off from there, from next week's message. But the point is, if we make our New Year's resolutions going into 2018, don't do it in the strength of the flesh. Do it in the confidence of the Lord. Set your resolutions in such a way that you are bringing honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a point where we think we can have confidence in what we're doing, but the only confidence that we have is in the Lord. And so the other side of it is here that the apostle is saying, I guess putting it into a different phrase, he's saying that who you are is not what you do. And I think that's a statement you need to let sink in. There's a lot of people who will portray themselves by what they do, not who they are. At a point in time in my life, folks said, well, who's Dan Mearns? Well, he works for Singer. He works for consumers. But that wasn't who I was. And I need, we need to take a look at who are you in the sight of God? Are you the guy that fixes doors? Are you the guy that teaches school? Or are you in Christ? Are you a Christian who happens to be doing those things as a means to an end, and really your life is a testimony to the glory of God? And so what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, if anybody is going to come to me and say, look at who I am, look what I've done, this is my pedigree, this is what my family is, this is what my history is, this is what my heritage is, he says, I've got a lot more to tell you, because here's who I am. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, there was absolutely nothing you could bring to his charge about being a Jew that could be derided in any way. But it goes on, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. In other words, he was against Christianity. He was a Jew that was out to annihilate Christianity. And it was on the road to Damascus that God struck him down blind and he was saved. And that's when he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And all those things that he was became obsolete. The fact that he was a Jew became obsolete, because in 1 Corinthians 12 he was able to write, there's no more Jew, there's no more Gentile, there's no more bond, there's no more free, there's no difference. We're all the same in Christ. And so all that stuff that was his that he could brag about, what does he say in verse 7? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And so the encouragement is, as we look forward to 2018, anything that we were proud of in 2017 that we could brag about, let's ask ourselves the question, did it bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I look at investments. Everybody's talking about investments. What's happening in the stock market? If we put it into this stock or that stock, do we put it into bonds? Do we put it into this or do we put it into that? My suggestion is, why don't you take a look at the investment that has eternal returns? I'll just leave it at that. Because the Lord could come any minute. I'm not saying don't be good stewards. What I'm suggesting is, let's take a look at our lives from an eternal perspective. Not the investment of money, but the investment of time. Where do we put our time? Is it bringing honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we try to teach from Woodside. We try to teach the Bible, and we try to teach it in such a way that we do bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say this before. There are two things in your life that we must abide by. Number one is that we need to bring worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring worship to God. And second of all, we should walk in such a way that we're more like Christ. If you do those two things in your life, everything else will fall in step. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. What a statement the Apostle Paul says. This is a standard that is impossible to live up to. He's saying that anything that I considered to be gain in my life in the past, I'm counting it as dung. Don't need to explain. Think about it. I've been in a farmyard. I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. The point is that is what the Apostle Paul considered the gain of his past life, that in view of winning Christ, it's worth nothing. And so in our lives, let's make our decisions as we go forward into 2018. Let's take the perspective that our lives should be run in such a way that we bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in all what we think, all what we say, and what we do. The Lord knows exactly who you are and what you should be doing in your life that will bring honor to glory and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to point out in a later verse, in verse 12, we're going to touch on a very key point in that regard. And then he says, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The only reason why we have righteousness, the only reason why we have a life that can be lived in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ is because we have faith in Christ and our sins are gone. That's where our righteousness comes from. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. You don't have to turn to it. It says, he was made sin who knew no sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us so that we could have righteousness and be able to live in such a way that would bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a testimony so that others would see who we are. And we can make a difference in this neighborhood and the neighborhoods in which we live. You know, I live in a neighborhood and I can't see my neighbors. But, you know, I went over and I had a chat with my neighbor the other day, and I realized as I drove away that how little I really talked to that neighbor. Because we don't live that close. There are times where folks live and they get to talk to their neighbors because they're right next door. Well, this guy's next door, but he's a long way away. That's my fault for not culturing that relationship. And I believe that was a voice to me to say, we need to have an impact. Our lives should be such that they impact those around us. I was in the conversation with him, and he said to me, he says, oh, I hear that you're away. And he says, I said, yeah. He says, oh, he says, you're in India. I said, yeah, I was in India. He knew that I was in India, and he wanted to know why. Well, we were there because we wanted to encourage the Lord's people. We were teaching the Word of God, and he kind of looked at me and said, well, you know, why would you do that? But the point is that he knew. I don't know how he knew. I don't know whether Charlotte talked to them or not, but anyway, he knew. Point is that we can have an impact on those around us by sheer virtue of us counting all the stuff in the past and recognizing who we belong to and living our lives in such a way that we are a testimony for Christ. And how do we do that? Let's go on. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Key statement. We know about the Lord Jesus Christ. But do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would like you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's not the point. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But do you know him as a man? Have you read the Scripture in such a way that you know the love in his heart towards you, that you know the care that he has for you, that you get to know him as somebody that you want desperately to see one day? That's getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John says two things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Direct quote from chapter 1. What he's saying to those around him is, look at the man who takes away the sin of the world. What he was talking about was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he was going to accomplish at the cross of Calvary. There's a distinction in his next comment where he says to those around, behold the Lamb of God. And he stops. And the result of that is some of his disciples, John's disciples, leave him and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Is because they saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a person, they grew to love him as a person, and they followed him. And so the point I'm making here is that we might know him. Him is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the chapters, read the Gospels, but also go to the Old Testament and understand the emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have in the Old Testament. What are the emotions that we talk about in the Old Testament where we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ? He was lonely. He was a lonely person. And we understand that because he went by himself to pray all night. We know that. in the Garden of Gethsemane. He separated himself from his disciples. And it says he was in an agony. And he was alone. But where do we read about the emotions of his soul? Go to the Psalms. I am alone. I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I am as a pelican in the wilderness. Think about those two statements. Number one, the emotion is, as a sparrow, sparrow's a flocking bird. And if it's alone, there's something wrong. And number two, it's vulnerable. That's the emotion of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, I am alone. I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I'm as a pelican in the wilderness. Pelican in the wilderness. Have you ever seen a pelican in a wilderness? Where do you see pelicans? Down by the seashore. They're the ones that have the big beaks where they catch the fish. The little rhyme that we had as a kid where a wonderful bird is the pelican. His beak can hold more than his bellican. You know, that's the little rhyme that we learn about the pelican bird. But it is a seabird, and you never see them in the wilderness. And what the Lord is saying is, I am as a pelican in the wilderness. The loneliness of being that type in the wilderness. These are some of the things that we get to know. And what I'm suggesting in this verse here is that you might know him. That you might know him as a person. Spend time in the mornings or the evenings reading the Word of God, not to find out doctrine, but to understand the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. That's an encouragement for you going into 2018. And the power of his resurrection. I don't think we really understand the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest war that was ever waged in the history of this world was at the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil with his own weapon. He went into death, and he was able to say to those around him, when it talked about his life, I have power to lay it down. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This is power I don't understand. But it is the power of the resurrection that gives you eternal life, that allows you to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. Know ye not that your bodies are indwelt by the Spirit of God? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Then we go on here and says, and I would just encourage you to learn more about the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fellowship, or the fellowship of his sufferings. What is fellowship in this case? It's the joint participation is fellowship. When you have fellowship together, it's joint participation. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you have fellowship in his sufferings. In other words, as you live your life, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for who he was and is. He was rejected because of who he is. And the Apostle Paul is saying, live your life in such a way that you have fellowship in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're 100% accepted in the company or the neighborhood where you live, with no exceptions about your Christianity, there might be something wrong. The fellowship of his sufferings is being able to enter into his sufferings and understand because of the testimony that you have in your life. Then it goes on here and it says, being made conformable unto his death. What is conformable unto his death? Well, that's why we have baptism, is to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go into the waters of baptism and we come up new in our, in symbolically, as new creatures in Christ. So the old life is dead, the new life is alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why we are conformable unto his death through baptism, and we come identifying ourselves in life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on, it says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Well, we know that we can't attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's in the hands of the Lord, because when the Lord gives the shout, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the resurrection. That's the rapture. But then he goes on in verse 12, and this is a very key point. I want you to read this verse very carefully. I'm going to switch Bibles here. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained, for I am already perfected, but I press on. He's saying, you know, I'm not perfect yet. I haven't attained to the resurrection of the dead, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That is what the desire of God is in your heart. What is he actually saying? He says, so that you might lay hold upon the very thing that Christ laid hold on you and is his desire that you be for him. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ lay hold on you? It's because he has something special for you in your life. He's laid hold on you for a purpose. He's given us gifts to the church. If you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, you will read all about the gifts to the church. Pastors, teachers, etc., etc., etc. And within those functions, God has given you a special thing to do for him. And he's laid hold on you and made you a new creature in Christ so that he could make that purpose known to you so that you can execute his desire in your life. I just want to turn to a verse here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6, being confident, there's the confidence word again, of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God started a work in your life. And he's going to see to it that it is completed right up until the time of Jesus Christ. What is that? That's the rapture. Or when the Lord takes you home. So God has given you something special. How do we know that God has made you special? Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then he goes on and said, wherefore remember that you were sometime past Gentiles in the flesh, and so on. He's saying, you know, the past is the past. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are his workmanship. In other words, God has taken you, he's made you a new creature, he's formulated you into something that he wants you to be, and it's your job to figure it out so that you can execute. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians here, he's saying, he says that I might lay hold of the very thing that God wants me to be, that he laid hold on to me to be. And so it's all a unit put together. If we could just get that one point, that God laid hold on to you for a purpose, lay hold on to that purpose so that you can be what he wants you to be. And then he's saying, now let's move on. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. This is a little different than what we saw in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, he says, don't forget where you came from. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, doesn't matter, you can't cure the past. So here's what I want you to do. Forgetting all those things that are behind you, let's focus on what's before. And what is it that we can focus on? We can focus on getting home. Maybe we'll be home in 2018. We don't know. But the point is, focus on what God wants you to focus on and forget about what's in the past. Stay focused. Don't get off the track. You know, I worked on a farm for a while, and this was in upstate New York when Charlotte and I were dating. I was on a family farm called the Verratti Farm. And so they gave me the job of plowing a field. Now, you figure that's an easy thing. You just drop the plow and you just drive forward. And the first path that you take down the field sets the path for all of the other furrows that follow it that should be parallel. And so I started down this field. Now we're talking a field that's probably about 200 or 300 acres. And so I picked out a focus, I picked out a tree, and I focused on it, and I was driving the tractor, and I was heading for that tree. And halfway across the field, I stopped, and I looked behind. I said, wow, what a great job. That thing is... So I turned around, and I picked the tree again, and I carried on forward. And when I got to the other end of the field, the furrow had gone like this and went like that. Why? Because I picked the wrong tree. You see, and the only cure for that is I had to go back and start over, because every time I followed that furrow, it would have gone like this, and I would have been fired. Well, I wasn't getting paid, so it wouldn't matter. But anyway, point is that when we are in our life, let's stay focused on the goal. What is it the Lord Jesus Christ really wants for you in your life? He wants you to be home. Remember that sheep that he found? He put it on his shoulders. Where did he take it? He took it home. He wants you and I to be home. And he's not, you know, there's another chapter that talks about the race that we win. God isn't asking us to win any races. He's just asking us to finish, and to finish well. And so here he's saying, focus on the mark. Focus on the goal. Focus on bringing honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever you do. Find out what it is that God wants you to do in your life, that he's laid hold on you to bring into your life. And when you do that, stay focused, and may your furrow stay straight. It's the prize of the high calling. What is the prize of the high calling? When we get to heaven, will the Lord say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What else more do you really want than to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? In our lives, we have the opportunity to do that. God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have the opportunity of bringing honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before we get there. And so what I'm saying here is, as the apostle says, stay focused, press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Then it goes on in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That's what we look for. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Everybody says, well, who are you a citizen of? And I pull out my passport and it says, I'm Canadian. Charlotte's American. Sorry, I'm here. But in actual fact, we're neither. We're citizens of heaven. We're looking for the time when the Lord is going to give the shout and take us home to be with himself. And so as we enter into 2018, let's summarize it this way. Look back to the rock when you've been hewn. Look back to the hole of the pit whence you've been digged. Always remember where you came from so that you're thankful for what the Lord has done in your life. Then it says, don't be confident in yourself. Put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that anything that we do in the flesh isn't going to work. It's like swinging a dull axe. When you swing a dull axe, what happens? It just tells you that the axe is dull. Always remember that our confidence should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. Get to know the power of his resurrection. Understand the fellowship of his sufferings. Be conformed unto his death. In other words, be that testimony that indicates that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that God has started a work in you that he's going to finish, because you are his workmanship in Christ. Lay hold of the very thing that God intended you to be when he laid hold of you as an individual. And then forget those things which are behind. You can't cure the past, but you sure can focus on the future. and do so for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ, and that is to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And stay focused. And then finally, always remember that the Lord Jesus is coming. We tend to forget that, don't we? Did you wake up this morning saying, I wonder if the Lord's going to come today? I did, but, you know, I only did that because I was studying the Scriptures. There's many days I go through and I don't think about the Lord's coming. But if we operate our lives in view of the Lord's coming, I think our behavior might be a little different. And so I'm encouraging you to stay focused on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word. Happy New Year. May the Lord bless you richly in 2018. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness and your care for us in the past year, for bringing us to this point. Surely, Lord, we can say, hitherto has the Lord helped us, as Samuel could say. And Lord, we rely on you for wisdom, direction, and courage to step forward into 2018 in such a way that we will make a difference, that we will recognize why you laid hold on us, so that we can do exactly what you desire us to do. Lord, you're wonderful and we love you. We look forward to seeing you. Give us confidence in you as we step forward into this coming year. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.